responsible for this?
Seriously, like how? Who let this go? Who approved this? Who approved this? Get the headquarters on the line right now. That is SBVCE, Some Game, produced by SBVCE. I hope that's how he pronounces his name, because I don't know if he like wants it to spell it out or not. Fire, check it out. Also, I don't own any of that music. Please do not sue me. Don't think just because I have a podcast now, I can afford it. I don't. Trust me, I do not. I cannot pay for how much that song costs. And seeing as how fire it is, and trust me, it is very fire, it must cost a lot of money for a lawsuit. Please do not sue me. You won't get anything out of it. And if you even try to just be like, oh, start a payment plan, you and I will both be dead before anyone in your family sees that money. Just letting you know. So as you saw, we want to know how this got approved. My podcast, yes, but also what happened last night. Before I get to that, allow me to formally introduce yourself. It is your boy, Justin Martez, is the government. That's right. Government name, just in case, you know. I don't want to look like I'm hiding from officials. I don't have anything to hide. Just letting people know that. Also, if you do know me, it is your boy Greatness himself, Justin Time. We are back, and I'm saying we are back because if you've been following this podcast from way back, you realize this is not the first episode, but this is just a revamping. If you are here from that time, just want to let you know I apologize for not being as active as before, which is why I had to redo all this over again. I even started a brand new poll to try and get a whole new fresh start, but everyone voted to keep the same name, which is One Voice for All. Shout out to my boy Joseph for the artwork. Incredible. Maybe that's why the universe had all you choose the name, because he probably didn't want him to do all this artwork for no reason, which I greatly appreciated. So the artwork's incredible. Thank him for it. Do not thank me. I had nothing to do with it, except I guess kind of named the podcast before and you guys thought it was a fire name. I wasn't happy with how it was before. Didn't think it just, I don't know. I listened to some old episodes before when I was trying to bring this back to life and realized it didn't sound as good. It's like when you look at your project and realize, damn, man, this is second place in the science fair. Who wants to do all this work, have their volcano go crazy just to show up at the science fair and get second place? It's not right. We got to start it over, build a great, bigger, crazier volcano, and that's what we're doing. Thank you all for checking in. One Voice for All, your boy Justin Time. All that great shit. Let's go. So we want to know, yes, how this podcast got approved. I want to know while I'm still able to do this. No one's blocked me. No one's got this phone to discombobulate and not run this app. This thing has not crashed. I still happen to be live. It says it's recording on my phone. I want to know who approved this. Also, what I know is I want to know, talking about last night's Monday Night Raw, who approved that new United States Championship? We're tired of revamping titles. We've seen it too much. Also, not to mention, we've seen this how MVP introduced the new United States title, because we saw this when JBL got mad and said he was still WWE champion when John Cena beat him at WrestleMania, and John Cena brought out the spinner title, then decided to ruin all of our championships by making them all spinners, and we finally get the United States Championship back originally how it was back in 2004 was when John Cena changed it, and I guess they brought it back in 2016. Or I think that was the Universal title when they 2016 they changed it and no one liked it back then. We still don't like it. And instead of changing it back, what they decide to do, they decide to change our United States Championship. It's got mixed results on Twitter, so it's not only me. Apparently, this was a long-awaited thing. These people think it's got a great prestigious look. I think not only was the lighting made it look terrible, which my first photo, if you've seen on Facebook, if anyone follows me there, I saw it. It looked like the eagle on the title had shades on. We now have a more clearer photo of it. Still not as great. I don't like it. And of course, this comes at a time when Extreme Rules, they decided to name it Extreme Rules Horror Show. This is indeed a horror. This entire lead up to this pay-per-view has been horrible. This might be the worst name for a pay-per-view since Vince McMahon allowed the creative team to sneak through the cracks. Great Balls of Fire. We don't forget. Pepperidge Farm remembers. But they did it. We've done it. They've got an eagle on it. They've got the United States flag. The font is crazy. All these red, white, and blue, obviously, it's United States Championship. The font is weird. The eagle that it doesn't look terrible, but it doesn't look amazing. It doesn't look great. You didn't need to change the United States Championship, especially if your new design is okay and gets mixed results. Same with your Intercontinental Championship. You've changed it too much, and you didn't need to change it now, especially if that also gets mixed results. If someone on Twitter starts with unpopular opinion, it means you didn't need to do it. I mean, the best thing we have is someone's Twitter who went by the bad boy Mario Candelara. Sorry if I butchered your name. I'm sorry. They butchered this championship. Blame it on WWE. He says the new WWE United States Championship title is okay. It's not horrible. Hashtag US title. No one should be designing championships and have that lead to someone saying, it's not horrible. It's just okay. Some people said it gives them this old school NWA, WCW feel. No, the original title gives you an old nostalgic feel. We don't need these changes. We want you to change storylines. We want you to get the creative team back to where it was so we don't have this crazy competition to where AEW fans are laughing at us when they just finished having a stadium stampede match where the wrestlers were wearing football gear, the other half weren't, and it was in an empty football stadium and nobody knew what was going on. Those fans are laughing at us for a new championship. Also, as mentioned, it was revealed to us in a way that we've seen before. How many times are you going to have someone come out who isn't champion and bring out a new design of the title? How does that work? What if MVP loses? Did you mean to tell me that he went out, paid for this custom championship? Let's keep kayfabe alive. He went out and paid for this title, got them to design it, brought it. This is mine. I'm going to win. I already know I'm United States champion. And then you lose. And then the title design is just okay. It's got mixed results. We didn't ask for this. We're in the middle of a war here. Okay? We have AEW getting major viewership. Yes, it's against the developmental league, which is low-key embarrassing, but it's also not because NXT is better than Raw and SmackDown right now. So we're losing. We're going back and forth competing with AEW. Their fans are laughing at us. AEW takes a shot. Some new guy in AEW, they throw around. They hot potato with who's taking shots. They draw straws and decide who's going to shit on WWE this week. Taz, I think, won it last week and drew the straw, and then he got to shit on it. Chris Jericho's been shitting on WWE for like weeks now. Cody Rhodes does it in every single interview. And now we've given them fuel to the fire to where they can possibly do some WCW throw the title in the trash thing. This title deserves to be thrown in the trash. It's horrible. Extreme Rules Horror Show has a horrible United States Championship. I don't like it. I just went on the WWE shop and saw that it costs $429 American dollars. Why is that title costing so much? $430 bucks for that championship? I think the $1 million title is about the same price. And I'll tell you which title I think looks better, but I think you already know that. There are too many ridiculous titles. At this point, you should have just let Zack Ryder have his internet championship defended on TV before you released him. At this point, just start holding backstage segments and let Xavier Woods defend the up, up, down, down title. At this point, just bring Bray Wyatt's ridiculous Fiend championship with his face on it and just have it everywhere. Stop destroying championships. They were good. The 24/7 title, absolutely terrible. We actually prefer the old hardcore championship. This is not right. Vinnie Mac, get it together, sir. Look at your creative team. Make sure they're doing something. And when they do something crazy like this, be in the room. You're supposed to be the guy with the final say. And if you said this was okay and you approve this, someone get this man out of the office. Let Triple H come upstairs and deal with this. William Regal will be fine. He knows how to run a show. He's been general manager before, and he did an excellent job, and he's doing an excellent job now. We don't see Triple H on TV because we don't need to. We know William Regal got this. Bring Triple H on TV up to Raw. Do some authority storylines again. At least he knows what he's doing. He's won championships. I'm pretty sure he's won almost all of them. I don't think he's won the United States Championship yet. I'm not sure. But have him win it and do something with it. This is ridiculous. But let's start recapping. Let's not only focus on the negatives of the show. We had some positives. Heath Slater came back. He's got kids. He needs this job. That's not just a gimmick. He said he has two kids. I don't believe him. I think the man has like 15. Because that gimmick went on too long. He's done too much weird, crazy stuff to not have too many kids to feed. That man is responsible for where Drew McIntyre is. Bring this man back. Everyone's saying Dolph Ziggler revived his career. That's Dolph Ziggler's thing. I brought him back. 3MB was amazing. It was entertaining as hell. Was it stupid? Yes. But you know what? You guys pushed Jinder Mahal, and you guys just now pushed Drew McIntyre. Get Heath Slater, the one-man band who started all of this. Get him a championship. Give him the United States title. I'm pretty sure it'll probably look good with a rock star. Maybe he'll be able to pull it off. Or that Intercontinental Championship. Or give him a tag team title again. Do something with the man. Heath Slater needs this job. He's got kids. And you had him in a... You had him do that incredible promo. Amazing. Amazing little family reunion thing. I felt it. I felt for the guy. I almost cried watching that promo. It was goddamn amazing. Just to have a freaking like 5 second squash match. We knew McIntyre was going to win, but he didn't deserve that. You already released the man and then had the audacity to do something where Drake Maverick pretends he's released just so he can lose the tournament and then still get a contract, when meanwhile Heath Slater has been working his butt off. He's got kids. He's been giving his entertaining moments. He's created a whole damn faction of a stable. Watch both his guys get pushed, and then he gets Claymore kicked in like 5 seconds. Give this man something. I mean, if he's gonna be a jobber, don't hype him up and give him this incredible way to look great and then just kill him like this. This man doesn't deserve to be a jobber and doesn't deserve to be released. Why is Drake Maverick in an incredible storyline? That man was a joke. He was better when he was managing AOP. And you took that from him. Then he was 24/7 champion. Had this crazy, incredible storyline with his wife. You took it away from him. He had this great comeback story where he was going to probably be Cruiserweight champion. You took that away from him. All he's got is a job where he's practically getting beat up every week by some random luchador guy. We don't even know what his name is. We don't know if it's Fantasma or whatever he said his name was, Mario or whatever. We don't know who he is. And this is the same treatment you're giving Heath Slater. 3MB revived careers. What was Jinder Mahal doing before 3MB? We don't remember. Drew McIntyre got fired after a Chosen One gimmick and became the Chosen One again after we saw in 3MB that he deserved better. This is Heath Slater's doing. The man's been through enough. He was like kicked out of Nexus and like the core was terrible. 3MB was like, he started other people's careers and not his. He's got kids, man. Stop playing with the guy. Another thing that I don't understand. Kairi Sane and Sasha Banks. Is Kairi Sane released or not? This is confusing. I just said we were going to focus on the positives, right? Well, let's be real. There hasn't been a lot of positives. But Kairi Sane and Sasha Banks was an incredible match. It's great to see Sane back. That's some positive. We don't know how long she's back. There's rumors that her contract is actually up. We don't know when that happened. We don't know if she's gone. I mean, she was taken out by Nia Jax, another one to add to the list, where it brings to a whole nother storyline of why Bret Hart just went after Seth Rollins crazy. Someone get him on the phone and give him some Nia Jax footage. Text him some Nia Jax photos or something. Email that man. Let him see some footage. Show him the tapes. We need that same energy, sir. Kairi Sane was gone for like 6 weeks. Feels like a month. Feels like more than that. Feels like, I don't know, I don't remember the last time I seen her. But she went wild last night and deserved it. Give her her contract back. Let them win the tag team championships. Do something with the women's tag team titles. You created them, and you have only like one team right now, which is Bayley and Sasha. And I think Alexa and Nikki Cross and the Iconics. All right, three teams. But you can't just hot potato the title between three teams and then try to give us some random team. Like what, when Becky Lynch comes back, it's just be her and Charlotte Flair again? Stop disbanding stables. The Riot Squad was incredible. They should have stayed. You had Fire and Desire. They were going crazy. They were great as a tag team. They could have been tag team champions. You ended it too early. Now you're in the middle of trying to end Sasha and Bayley, but you don't want us to expect it. We already know what's going to happen. Just do it already. You're teasing it every week. They're volunteering each other for matches. We just want to see it. Just get rid of it. You tried the Women's Tag Team Championship. It didn't work. It's okay. Get some teams. Do something. There's nobody. There's three teams. There's three. Natalya and Lana are doing this weird thing. It might be four. Maybe you'll bring Ruby and Liv back. Maybe that's five. That's not even an even number. You'll probably do some weird thing where you have some NXT team come up like Caden Carter and some other jobber to make it seem like you got six. There's nothing going on. Why'd you make the titles? Why design all these championships? Some you're not going to use. Some look terrible. Come on. Another thing that makes no sense. What kind of stipulation did Rey Mysterio choose last night? Apparently Aleister Black got attacked. It was supposed to be Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black versus Seth Rollins and Murphy. Then I guess Aleister Black was attacked. So it became Rey Mysterio and, you know, Kevin Owens, because Seth Rollins was on Kevin Owens' show, tried to get him to join, which never works. No one ever just converts. When has that worked? When has someone really successfully converted a face to a heel by talking to them and making them and convincing them to do it? I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head when that has worked. I don't think it has. The only time that might have worked is like the Big Show, probably, and that doesn't count. He turns heel on his own randomly. He's been face for too long. I'm scared he might just accidentally punch his partners just out of reflex. I was waiting during that match with the Viking Raiders for him to just turn around and KO punch them and say he's been working with Orton the entire time to destroy Edge, because it might have just been a muscle reflex for the Big Show to just turn heel mid-match. He's been face for too long. It's scary. It's too good to be true. He showed up the past 3-4 weeks as a face and hasn't turned on nobody. I'm scared. Rey Mysterio and Kevin Owens win by Murphy coming back. Aleister Black coming back. Great way of WWE doing the whole he's injured, but he got attacked, but he somehow shows up. Oh my God, he's actually not been attacked. And then he comes in and then, you know, the ref gets distracted and it's, oh my God, the good guys win. Rey Mysterio, of course, with the whole storyline thing of getting his eye messed up, chooses a eye for an eye match. Don't know what the hell that is. Apparently today, the news on WWE.com has made it official. The first ever, and I think this might actually be first ever. This is real historic, because when WWE says first ever, it actually isn't first ever, and they just don't want us to remember the last time it happened. But I don't think there's ever been an eye for an eye match, so this might be first time ever. Apparently, the two will clash in an eye-for-eye match, a battle where the only way to win is to extract one of your opponent's eyes. So unless Rey is doing the fake patch over the eye thing, if he loses, he'll be blind? How are you going to extract... Does the winner have to, like, gouge an eye out of their socket? Will these guys be wearing like glass fake eyes or something, and Seth Rollins or whoever will have to claw it out? Do they just rake the person's eyes, and if it bleeds, it looks, that might be the winner? How do you win an eye for eye match where apparently the winner is the guy who takes out the other person's eye? How does that work? And how did you make that work if you're supposed to be PG? How do you have a PG eye for an eye match, Mr. McMahon? Explain this to us. What's an eye for an eye match? How does it work? How do you take out someone's eye in a wrestling match? Will there be crowbars at ringside? How are we doing this? How are you doing this if we're supposed to be kid related now? You can't be PG after telling parents you're going to have an eye for an eye match. Kids always try wrestling moves at home. They're going to go to school doing the Rey Mysterio to the kids in the playground. The Seth Rollins Rey Mysterio. They're going to go to the schoolyard like, you know what? I've had enough for you, Jimmy. I challenge you to an eye for an eye match. Like, what? How did this get approved? What is this? Why didn't you just choose an Extreme Rules? There's no Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules right now. We have regular matches, and we have an eye for an eye match. We don't know what Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre's stipulation is, because Dolph Ziggler said Drew McIntyre won't know before Extreme Rules, since he was given the option to choose the stipulation. So we're going to be surprised what that is. And it might turn out to be a regular match. Or he might just choose Extreme Rules and then it'll just be anticlimactic because you could have just said it was our only Extreme Rules match. Our only Extreme Rules match that we have so far is a match that nobody understands. What's an eye for an eye match, Vinnie Mac? Who approved this? Moving on. We already talked about the MVP situation. Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, what is their point of being a team? They're on a roll. They're fighting these, of course, like WWE does when they first put two random people together. They just do great against the local nobodies or who people don't remember or maybe have been to another like indie corporation. We don't know who they are. They might be some random Ring of Honor guys. I mean, WWE bought Evolve, right? They might be some weird Evolve guys that nobody remembers or seen before. Ricochet and Alexander. Then they fight people like the Viking Raiders, might win, might lose, to go all the way back to the totem pole and beef with MVP and Bobby Lashley, who of course aren't going to lose to Ricochet and Alexander. Because they're in the middle of a high-powered storyline where they can't afford to look weak. So now you are burying Ricochet and Cedric Alexander while also trying to give them momentum at the same time, which they can't get against people that aren't supposed to lose to them. Ricochet and Alexander are an incredible team. I love the fact that they were put together. This is one of those random teams that look great when you put them together. You know, like Stone Cold and Triple H, the Power Trip obviously worked. Rock and McFoley, you know, Rock and Sock Connection, that obviously worked. This is the weird one, like, you know, like Kane and X-Pac, which it's like, why the hell are they tag team partners? But then it works for a while. You're like, oh crap, I can get behind this. This is actually cool. At the same time, what are we doing with these guys? Are we putting the tag team titles on them somewhere down the line? Do they beat the Street Profits? Do they beat the New Day? Or are they just some weird experiment that you're trying to work and then one of them turns heel on the other? Where's this going? Because having the up and down every week, you could have just let them go their separate ways and be champion. What did Cedric Alexander lose the Intercontinental Championship for? What did Ricochet lose the United States Championship for? If you just put them together and did this weird tag team thing that isn't going to go anywhere. I'm trying to find the positives, guys. I'm sorry. I can't. The only positive I have are these are talented guys and they're being... And that's the only positive, because they're followed by negatives of being misused. 1 week they're incredible, 1 week they're not. What is going on? And then, like I said, Big Show waiting for him to turn the Viking Raiders doesn't happen. Randy Orton finds a way to be Randy Orton. RKO out of nowhere. I assume this will lead to a Big Show versus Randy Orton match, obviously at Extreme Rules, where it's weird because Randy Orton's going to have to win, right? Like, if the Big Show beats him, that tanks all the momentum, and it's like, what's the point of you beefing with Edge after the greatest wrestling match ever? Which I do actually agree that was possibly, arguably, the greatest wrestling match ever. I did not like the stipulation, I'm not going to lie. They had a last man standing match, and then you continued the rivalry by saying, we're just going to have a regular wrestling match. Okay, you're more brutal than me, but this is World Wrestling Entertainment. Can you wrestle better than me? I don't know how that just got taken out of the equation when he proved that he can wrestle better than you and take more punishment than you, because he won a last man standing match where you out wrestle and survive to the point where the other person can't get up after the count of 10. But okay, we'll go back to the basics. Are you a good wrestler, though? You can fight, but can you wrestle? Ah, I see what you did there, Mr. McMahon. Ridiculous. But they won. It was incredible. I'm not going to lie. I might watch the match again after doing this because it was really that good. WWE Network is free, by the way, everyone. Watch it. I believe you have to pay for the pay-per-views. And I know you're just like, how do you believe? Do you not? Are you not subscribed? I am. I'm going to give you a nice little cheat code, guys. Go buy the... They might want you to know this. Go buy the network gift cards. They have some that are just 3 months. You pay like 20... That's what I do. I pay like $25 for a three-month card, which is cheaper because if it's $9.99 a month, you're basically paying $30 for 3 months when you can... Just buy it flat out for $25. Save yourself $5. I don't, works out like that. Do the math. That, you know, that's a nice little Crave box from White Castle if you still eat that. Which I don't know why people shit on that. Don't act like you guys aren't out here getting Crave cases. If I put a Crave case in front of you and walk to the bathroom and tell you not to touch it, I bet you when I come back, you've ate at least 5 of those burgers. So let's stop playing with each other. But I digress. Go watch that match on WWE Network. If you watched it already, watch it again and realize how incredible that match was. You know that match was entertaining. It was great. But it leads to this. You know, Randy Orton versus Big Show will probably happen in Extreme Rules. Andrade and Angel Garza still have this weird little tag team thingy where they're a team, they're not a team. Another one, they should just... See, these are teams that should be disbanded. Teams that you clearly don't know what you're doing with anymore, and you're just trying to drag them along. The Sasha Banks and Bayley thing is starting to get really boring, stale, and annoying. We know they're going to turn on each other. Just do it. We know Andrade and Angel Garza are going to turn on each other, and Zelina Vega will probably just cut them both loose and get some new people. And we know Aleister Black doesn't want him to be with her just because we don't want to have the whole wife, you know, husband dynamic thing where it's like you're only here because your husband, like everybody else. We don't want that to happen. Selena Vega, she's really good. She's really good at you know, on the mic, and she's a great manager, I think, 'cause she should be able to have her own team. I would like to see Andrade and Angel Garza stick together, but if they can't and you're doing this weird little breakup thing, just do it. Have Selena go back to Andrade by herself. Get Angel Garza out of here. That's why we moved Austin Theory, because we realized he wasn't fitting in there. Andrade and Selena are just supposed to be the one person show. That's it. They're the good Rusev and Lana. Come on. But Randy Orton does his thing. I don't know how him and Big Show will turn out. I assume Randy Orton gets the win. I am interested to see how, because, you know, it's Big Show. And still, you know, at the same time, of course, he has to lose, and he's, you know, Drew McIntyre beat him. And, you know, Big Show is no longer, you know, a hard person. It really wasn't a difficult person to beat. I mean, you know, certain people are going to have their ways of, you know, finding out how to beat him. I think it's difficult, though, especially if you're not trying to really ruin. I think, you know, Big Show was supposed to have huge momentum to make it look like it's a huge thing that Randy Orton has to overcome to get to Edge. So it's interesting. I would say that's one positive so far, weirdly, is that this Big Show Randy Orton thing is interesting how they pull this off. Unless they're just trying to ruin Big Show and he's just there to put over Orton, which I suppose, but he's getting too much momentum to the point where, you know, I don't know, the Legend Killer thing is interesting. So I that is one positive. There we go, guys. We did it. We found it. And then sorry, right back to negative. We talked about the Riot Squad being disbanded. I believe this might be actually a good positive, though. At least it allows everyone to get excited for the Riot Squad somewhat coming back together, because the Iconics double team on Ruby Riot can only go for so long before Liv has to help her out, or she has to ask Liv for help. So I do like that, though. I do like the whole build up to, you know, the whole mark out moment where the Riot Squad comes back together as a team. So that is also very interesting. And then, you know, we had Bayley and Asuka do the champion versus champion match, which turned out good. So now it's not a one-sided thing anymore. where it's just Sasha and Bayley taking over, doing the whole Charlotte thing, and Asuka keeps going down and, you know, downhill after not being undefeated anymore. You know, overall, if I was doing the Dave Meltzer kind of thing, he'd probably give this Raw that it's hard to get 5 stars from Dave Meltzer if you're not New Japan. So I think they're the only guys who get like 5 stars. I don't know if he's like biased and just probably gives AEW 5 stars to be petty, but I don't think he does. I've never seen Dave Meltzer give anyone outside of New Japan 5 stars. I think his only 5 stars things have been New Japan matches. I think like Kenny Omega when he was there in Japan, and like all the Japanese legends, they're the only guys who's ever gotten Dave Meltzer 5 stars. If you line up people who've had Dave Meltzer 5 stars, I bet you they've all been in like New Japan when they got it. So, and this definitely wouldn't get 5 stars, even if Dave Meltzer didn't want to be biased, which I think he is. This would probably get 3 out of 5, maybe 2, 2.5. I'll give it a 3. There's some interesting things going on, you know. It has a lot more interesting stuff going on than SmackDown, really, where it's just Sheamus taunting Jeff Hardy for always being drunk. And nothing else is really going on over there. I mean, the Bray Wyatt thing is nice. You know, I didn't like the Firefly Funhouse idea at first. I'm not going to lie. I was not a fan of it. But I've come around, you know, done a full 180 on that thing, that storyline. Great. I think it's pretty interesting now. I don't like the John Cena Firefly Funhouse match that they had, though. I think it's absolutely retarded, and I'm not watching that again to try and like it, even though I just told you guys you should try and watch Edge and Randy Orton again to watch it. But at least it was a regular, you know, understandably incredible, entertaining match of why you should watch it, not some weird little thing where I'm probably have to go on a trip, a drug trip, in order to enjoy what the hell I just saw. I don't know what kind of psychopaths enjoyed that Firefly Funhouse with John Cena and weren't confused, but I'm low-key traumatized. But yes, that's what I believe. That's what I think was great about. I don't know if I've mentioned anything that was great about Raw. I think a few things were, but yes, 3 out of 5. If anyone can find a 5-star match from Dave Meltzer that's not from New Japan, please pass it over this away so I can watch it. Cause that would be mind blowing, mind boggling. That would be baffling. It would have me baffled, bewildered, bamboozled, low-key traumatized. I don't know if Dave Meltzer likes another promotion besides New Japan. If he has a 5-star match out there that doesn't involve New Japan, please show it to me. Please. And I mean, did not take place at a New Japan thing. Don't give me, like, Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho and be like, these guys aren't Japanese, this counts. No, it took place in like New Japan or one of those Japanese indie promotions. I mean, if that thing happened at like Ring of Honor and he gave like Mike Kanellis versus, I don't know, Jay Lethal or something, 5 stars. I don't even know if those two fought. Those are really the only Ring of Honor guys that came to my head right now. You know, like if he, I don't know if he gave like Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor 5 stars, pass that over here. So I can compare it to all these other 5-star matches and want to know why Dave Meltzer is always giving it to the New Japan guys. Not saying New Japan doesn't deserve it. If you're a fan of New Japan, I'm not shitting on you guys. I'm not shitting on the New Japan wrestlers. There are a lot that are incredible. I can't remember a lot off the top of my head. I know it sucks. I'm only talking about Kenny Omega. I know there's a lot of them out there. Just can't remember them and probably would butcher the hell out their names if I could. But, you know, their names just aren't coming to my head right now. But I know there's very talented people that if I did go back and learn their names and become familiar with them again, I would also probably give them 5 stars. I just want to know why there aren't those same type of caliber matches that we do see on like AEW or WWE or Ring of Honor, you know, or something like that, that are also 5-star matches that Dave Meltzer doesn't want to give us credit for. Screw you, Dave Meltzer. We have 5-star talent in America, and we're tired of you not realizing that. So, at the end of the day, I just want to know who's approving this stuff. Who can I write to at the headquarters to get our voices heard? Or do I have to steal the files? You've showed us how to get into the headquarters now, and that Money in the Bank climbed to the roof of the corporate building thing. I know how to get in there, and I know how to escape. Don't make me get the files and start my own company, seeing what y'all doing, and just rebuttal it and blow y'all all out of the water. I'll revive Impact again. They accept anybody. They let Dixie Carter run the league, run that little promotion over there. Anyone stands a chance. They brought Eric Bischoff and gave him no control and thought that was going to work. They let Hulk Hogan run it for a while. I think like Ric Flair was doing something over there. Dixie Carter ran it for like years, had Kurt Angle on Percocets. Ruined his marriage. And they were still out there for a while, surviving, still able to somehow keep their talent from going WWE and also taking WWE's talent at the same time. It's possible. Just let me know. They let us know how to get into the corporate building. I can get the files. Let us know who approves this nonsense. Please. So guys, that is the recap. The Great American Bash Part 2 is coming up tomorrow. That is where Adam Cole faces Keith Lee, winner take all. Very interesting. I think Mia Yim is facing Candice LeRae. I was going to say Johnny Gargano's wife. I swear I was just going to call her that. I don't know what else is on there. I think that's the only two things that also has been hyping up the night. Should be a lot better than part one was. Part one was okay. You know, I would agree with Dave Meltzer if he didn't give that one 5 stars. This night I expect though to be a 5-star night. And thank you guys for tuning in. I feel great. I think this went well. I feel excited. I feel pumped. I feel great to be reaching you guys. And back in business. Don't worry. It will not always be 100% wrestling related. I know there's not a lot of people out there who feel as enthused anymore or are enthused at all. You know, and kayfabe has been dead for a long time. I like to keep it alive, you know. Not like kayfabe news styles alive. That's just ridiculous. They really like kayfabe over there. I don't even know if they're... Let me see if I can pull up a kayfabe news article before I let you guys go. Even their website is like unreal news about an unreal sport. Crazy. Oh, look at that. Was last night's Raw best episode ever. Holy crap. They love keeping kayfabe alive. Oh, no, heavens no, not even close. Okay. It was in the top 2,000 episodes ever, but even that's debatable. Oh, wow. Kayfabe, damn. You couldn't even get kayfabe news on your side. Gosh. They have another. Oh, yep. Here's one. Here's a kayfabe news article that shows about how incredible committed these guys are. This one was June 28th, not too long ago. It says, wrestlers now legally allowed to open carry steel chairs. Kayfabe news. Oh. WWE Hall of Famer and U.S. President Donald Jose Trump signed an executive order this morning, June 28th, that legalizes open carry of steel chairs among professional wrestlers, and the chair control lobby is outraged. We have Kurt Angle, who, according to Kayfabe News, his real name is Loquacious Plain. Reportedly got his open carry chair thanks to the so-called chair show loophole. Kayfabe News is incredible. Shout out to Kayfabe News. Whoever runs this website, who approves this? Chair shots occur at a 900% higher rate in the United States than any other country on earth.
says a raged anti-chair activist and retired wrestler, Mikhail McFoley, himself, a longtime victim of chair violence. This is incredible. Oh my God. Kayfabe news. I love kayfabe news. Holy crap, I haven't been here forever. I needed this. But the powerful NCA, National Chair Association, has fought for decades to allow wrestlers to carry non-concealed folding chairs. I'm gonna find a way to let follow the group One Voice for All on Facebook. I'm gonna post this article up now, guys. This is incredible. This is amazing. You guys have this. It comes with a video? Oh no, that's Vince McMahon. I never liked live audiences anyway. Oh man, I might have to watch that. Yes, but check out the page on Facebook. Follow up, guys. Leave your opinions, your comments, your concerns. Thank you all for tuning in. Love you guys. We'll see you soon. Probably be back on Wednesday. Might do another wrestling episode. If you guys have any news you want to share and we can recap, or any videos or anything, please leave it on the page. Go follow it. Get in contact. Let's make it better this time. Signing off. One Voice for All. It's your boy, Justin Time. Greatness. Justin Martez. Thank you all. Peace and love. See you soon.